Welcome to the Debbie Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Network. I'm your host, Skip Newton. With me is my co-host, Matt Cooper. Matt, we made it through the NFL draft. There were some surprises. There was a lot of fun. It was a busy weekend. How you doing?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing great, man. It was definitely a busy weekend. I was on a bunch of shows, my own, and then, you know, guested on a number of shows. This time of year, man, for a Dynasty content creator, it stays busy. Enjoyed being on the show at like 12:30 at night with you and Hicks. Reacted to day two. That was a fun one. So, yeah, it's a fun time of year for sure.
Yeah, that was awesome because I was not planning on that. And I'm sitting down in the basement by myself. I had an event for my kid going on. And I get home. I'm just like, all right, just watch the end of the draft. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. I think they're doing a draft reaction. I'm going to see if I can get on that bad boy. So it was great. Great joining you. We're going to talk about NFL draft reactions. Now that we've had some time to just relax and sleep, in your case, and kind of digest it and get into that. Normally, I don't mention this, but this is episode 100 of the Debbie Big Board. We started as part of the NFL Draft Bible as the Debbie Show, and then rebranded to the Debbie Big Board. So number 100 kind of feels good, man. That.
That's a fun one. Fun little milestone there.
Exactly. So we'll have to see if Dwight wants to join us for a future one as well. I know he's always itching to talk rookies because he's been doing so much write-up. But of course, everyone, it is officially rookie draft season. This is the month to try out the awesome resources available at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. Get in-depth rookie rankings, including film reviews on 80-plus prospects, personalized advice throughout your rookie draft from our super active Discord, and all patrons will receive Volume 2 of the 2024 Rookie Guide, updated the Sunday after the NFL draft with in-depth analysis and 2024 seasonal projections for every rookie. This is the absolute best resource to help you win your rookie drafts. You can get access to Rookie Big Board resources for as low as $5 a month, or save 15% with an annual subscription. That is cheaper than having someone come out to your house and inspect a water heater that is not working. We both can attest to that with our recent things in our life. So
we can.
Not fun, but always the downside of owning property. But let's get into the...
As they say, you can be happy or you can be a homeowner.
Exactly. I like that. All right. Let's start with kind of going through ADP with a focus on, you know, who do we like at their current ADP and who don't we like? I made a note here that the top eight in leagues that I'm just kind of able to look at, or leagues that I'm participating in, the top eight has stayed fairly chalk across the board in a super flex, right? You've got your four quarterbacks, which would be Williams, Daniels, May, and McCarthy. And then the big three wide receivers, Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and Adunze, and then Brock Bowers, a tight end. Have you seen any deviation from that in any of your leagues, or just anyone talking about stuff?
Not a lot. I did have one league where Xavier Worthy went at 7, and I guess it was, you know, it's 10 teams, so quarterbacks aren't quite as scarce, and I assume the guy at 7 just didn't feel a need at quarterback, or maybe he really loved Worthy, because I was sitting at 8 and both May and McCarthy were sitting on the board, and I was figuring that he was going to make that decision for me, and then he didn't. So that's the only time I've seen any deviation from that top 8. and you know, funnily enough, in that league, I didn't need a quarterback either. And so I was like frantically trying to trade it, like, somebody come get Mayor McCarthy. And I ended up sending that pick for Jalen Waddle and a 2025 second. So
nice.
I felt okay about that. It's like, if I'm not going to take one of these quarterbacks, instead of reaching on somebody else, you know, let me try to trade that for value. So I felt pretty good about that.
Yeah, I like that. And I'm glad you brought up Worthy, because I've seen people post, you know, drafts that they're live in the Discord, extremely active. I mean, it did the read at the beginning here, but that did not do it justice. People are all over our Discord chat, which is awesome. It's a lot of fun. But Xavier Worthy seems to be the guy that's slipping in there. If there is one inside that top eight, which, I mean, I understand it. You know, he had a great combine, got drafted in a fantastic position. I mean, hard to argue
draft
that.
Capital. There's
right.
You know, anybody that goes to the Chiefs is always going to get pushed up boards as long as Mahomes and Andy Reid are there. So,
yeah. And I think that's okay. I mean, I don't think people are going to go too nuts for Xavier Worthy. I mean, it's not like they're moving up into the top four or five, but I understand it. I mean, he's a good wide receiver and he had maybe one of the best landing spots, and it's not, you know, they've got Rice, but nobody else at wide receiver. And they've got an aging Kelsey who, you know, they just extended a couple of years, but mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with Worthy at certainly locked in at 109.
For me, he's my 10th ranked player. I've got Ladd one spot higher. But I, like you said, I mean, I love Worthy. I love the spot. I think if anybody is taking them over the big three wide receivers or Bowers, I think that's crazy. I can kind of get, like, if you feel gross about May or McCarthy and you just don't feel like pulling the trigger, or you're really set at quarterback or whatever, like, I get it. I would try to trade back first, but I get it. So I'm kind of with you on that.
Yeah. And then, you know, we mentioned Worthy, you mentioned Ladd McConkey. He's right there, right around 11. Brian Thomas Jr. at 10 with the Capital. I think that makes a lot of sense. Jonathan Brooks, RB1. We talked about this after round two the other night. So that's lining up basically what we thought was going to happen. And you're still Jonathan Brooks, RB1, right?
Yeah, by far. I mean, I think he got the best draft capital. He's the only one to go in the top two rounds. He had my highest tape score before the draft to begin with. He got the best landing spot, the clearest path to opportunity. I mean, I really don't even think there's an argument for anybody else personally. I mean, I think it's a tier of his own type of thing. I know a lot of people really love Benson. I had a, you know, 3 or 4 points higher tape score on Jonathan Brooks, which is, you know, a decent gap. And just the better draft capital, better landing spot, better everything. So for me, it's pretty clear and obvious.
Yep, I agree. And it's interesting because if you go like through the top seven running backs, you get, you know, Brooks at the end of round one, you get Benson, Corum, and Wright in round two, and then Lloyd, Irving, and Ray Davis in round three. And that makes seven guys. And I heard this morning on the Dynasty Big Board, Eric say, I'm done at seven. Like, I'm not taking any running back outside the top seven. And it was one of those times when somebody says something on a podcast and I immediately start just nodding and agreeing, like, yep, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be right there with them. I don't see me going after any running back after that. I would much rather take a flyer in the fourth round, you know, on a tight end that maybe they had the right spot, or, you know, I'm a big fan, kind of falling in love with Malik Washington in the fourth at Miami. And really, there's just no running back after those top seven that I like. Is there any sleeper running back in that area that you find yourself interested in?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when you look at the ADP that we're using, which we're looking at, shout out to Adeko, who runs DynastyDataLab.com. It's a great resource. They have a subscription thing, but there's also a free package as well. And it's got rookie ADP. And I believe that it is over 665 drafts within the sample that it's pulling from for this ADP. So, like, that's a big sample. And it's all like post NFL draft ADP that I'm looking at here. And the entire fourth round, it's color coded. It's like almost half the fourth round is running backs. Like, people are throwing darts on these running backs in the fourth round. And then, you know, here you are saying I wouldn't touch any of them. So that's definitely against what seems to be the consensus here. I kind of like, I don't love any of these guys. Kamani Vidal, I mean, sixth round, like, how easy is it to get excited about sixth round draft capital? But a lot of people you know, really liked the tape, and then he lands with the Chargers, and that feels wide open because, like, well, we don't know what's left of J.K. Dobbins, and Gus Edwards has always just kind of been a Jag. So, and similar things with Tyrone Tracy. Like, do I love Tyrone Tracy? No. But, like, do I love Devin Singletary? Also, no. So, I think those are guys that you could throw darts on just based off of, like, I can see the path, at least. But not because I'm, like, overly in love with the talent of either guy. And they both were, you know, late day three picks, too. So, it's the fourth round. You're throwing darts. I'd pick your flavor, I guess. But
yeah, I just don't want a running back that's, you know, mid to late day three, and none of them, maybe except for the Chargers, none of them have a landing spot that excites me. And it's like, man, this just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad running back class to begin with,
right?
And it just felt like none of it really fell, other than, you know, Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson. Other than those two, it felt like none of them really fell into spots where you got excited about. I mean, yes, there's a path to guys like Blake Corum. And I would have talked about him, you know, later in the show, but since I brought him up, I'm going to mention him now. You know, there are people that are overreacting to him going to LA and saying, oh, I'm selling Kyren Williams. And I think that's a mistake because, you know, Kyren Williams was great last year. I mean,
yeah,
he was an awesome running back, and he's not old. And even if it's worst case scenario for Kyren Williams, and he ends up losing his job at some point in the season, he's not going to lose it in the first month. So if you're going to sell him, at least wait till Kyren Williams starts putting up some good fantasy stats again in the beginning, and then sell him when he's scoring a bunch of points. But I think people overreact to draft picks. And this is a perfect example where, like, oh, they took him in the third round. That means, you know, trouble for Kyren Williams. No, it doesn't. It means that their depth chart had nobody but Kyren Williams, and running backs get hurt and they need somebody they can potentially rely on just in case. But history has told us that the Rams like to use workhorse running backs. And so in my opinion, I think Blake Corum will have every opportunity to be the number one backup, and he'll come in for some series, but Williams is the guy there. If people are lower on Williams, please go out and make an offer, because I think you're going to get a steal.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know, while we're on the subject, I know we're going to talk about, like, some of our favorite sleepers at ADP versus some of our guys that we're avoiding at ADP. And Blake Corum is somebody that I'm avoiding. I mean, I don't understand spending a second round draft pick on a guy that you know is a backup, which I guess there's some people trying to convince themselves that he's not, but I don't know, man. Like, he's already like 25 years old. There's no clear and immediate path to, you know, good volume outside of an injury. And I think Kyren is a better player than he is. I mean, Blake Corum's fine. I don't dislike Blake Corum. I think he was my RB5 before the draft, but I just don't understand taking a guy his age, his profile, his upside, his landing spot at pick 20 when there's so many other guys on the board that you could take that have more upside than that. So
yeah, I suppose the one argument I could support would be if Kyren Williams does get hurt, there's a decent chance that all of a sudden Blake Corum is the number one guy in that offense, an offense that has proven to be very RB friendly. So
for sure.
Maybe it's that. I mean, but you know, you're talking about a guy that you don't like at his current ADP. Who else fits that description for you?
Somebody I don't like. All right, so there's quite a few of them. The first one, I'll say, just looking again, so this is, every draft is going to be different. Everything after the 109 has somewhat been chaos. Like, you know, this guy could go as high as what I'm seeing on this sheet, or he could go as low as, you know, I've seen him at 209, 210, which I'd be much more comfortable with. But according to this ADP that we're looking at, Keon Coleman is number 14. So if you're in a standard 12 team league, that's 202 early second round with guys still on the board, like Adonai Mitchell, who also got second round draft capital, who I think is a much better player. Michael Penix, who went top eight at quarterback, Trey Benson, I mean, Ricky Pearsall. Like, there's so many guys going after him according to this ADP that I would just way rather have than Keon Coleman. So that one is an easy avoid for me at 14th in ADP.
So that's interesting. I think he obviously is moving up because of the landing spot, right?
Right.
Buffalo is a premier landing spot in, I mean, who else do they have? You know, Dalton Kincaid, you know, Shakir. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of slim over there. So there's an easy path to targets. It could also be, did you happen to hear his opening press conference?
Yeah. Likeable guy. I mean, likeable guy.
Talk about a guy that all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, I didn't really like your film, but I really hope you're awesome because
yeah,
man,
I feel the same way about Leggett, by the way, as a Panthers fan, like all of his like country, you know,
I was really excited
that they drafted me. Like, I just love that, man. As a Panthers fan, I'm like, I hope I'm wrong about you. You're a really likable dude. So I feel the same way about Leggett as I do about Coleman. But, you know, I think when you get to like the back half of the second round, I become more interested in ceiling and less worried about floor. And there's definitely a ceiling with Keon Coleman. And so that's where I start to feel like, all right, I'd feel good about this pick. But early second round with so many of these guys that I think are studs still sitting around to be drafted, I'm not taking Keon Coleman. I'm just not doing it. I mean, like, even look at, I'm not going to pretend this is an original thought of mine. Matt Harmon is the wide receiver goat. And he wrote up the RP profile and the success rates versus man, press, all that, pretty terrible. And Harmon flat out said, I don't think this guy can play X at this point at the next level. And if he's going to succeed, he needs to go and play that big bully slot role early on in his career, like Rashee Rice did last year, and kind of work his way into, you know, maybe eventually expanding to some of those X type of responsibilities. Well, guess what's not happening in Buffalo? Any of that slot. Big slot stuff, right? Because, I mean, you got Curtis Samuel there. You got Khalil Shakir there. They're both slot guys. Kincaid is going to be in the slot a lot. And Brandon Bean flat out said in his press conference, we need him to play X, and we're going to be counting on him early and often. And I don't think Keon Coleman is ready for that. And I think people have been bit many times by the, oh, who else are they going to throw to? They're going to throw to Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid, Curtis Samuel. All those guys are better than Keon Coleman at this point, I think. And, you know, he's basically just a tall guy that got drafted too early. There's upside, but there is so much downside at 202. Like, no way. No way.
So if you're drafting and you're sitting there early second round and he's on the board, this is a great opportunity to look for somebody that wants to trade up, and maybe you can get some good value. You can trade back in the second round and pick up something extra. I think that's the strategy we're talking about here. Let's shift over
somebody else. That's fine.
Yeah. Let's shift over to a few other guys. We're going to mix things up a little bit and stick with the guys that we're avoiding first. You mentioned, you know, the quarterbacks, you know, like Penix, and Penix is sitting there at the 204. You know, pick 16. You got Bo Nix at 201, clearly because Bo Nix is got a clear path to starting. I'm not going to take either one. I'm sticking with my pre-draft statement that I don't want either guy. Obviously, Penix was the most bizarre pick in the draft that made no sense. But the even for the people that like Penix, I mean, you're sitting on him for 2 years minimum. Unless Cousins gets hurt. I can see a path to them getting rid of Cousins after 2 years, but for cap reasons, they're pretty much stuck with them, I think, for the next two.
Mm-hmm.
Cousins
is a good quarterback too. Like, I mean, right. We'll see what he looks like post Achilles. But I mean, he's a good quarterback. So it's not like it's like a Derek Carr situation where you're like, hey, maybe, you know, maybe the guy just stinks and they're out of playoff contention and they want to see what they got in the young guy. Like, I don't see that happening with Kirk Cousins. So yeah, it's a tough, like, the draft capital is amazing for Penix. The situation is far from ideal. I think we all know that. If somebody wants to spend a second round pick on a quarterback in a super flex league that got drafted that high, I'm not going to fault them for it. I understand the process. It'd be really hard for me to pull the trigger if that was me on the clock there.
I mean, he's a week away from his 24th birthday, and we're talking at best, again, barring an injury, he's going to be 26 before he plays any meaningful snaps in the NFL, and maybe later. I mean, they pretty much said they're fine letting him sit. It's like, I don't get that at all. Bo Nix, great. He's in Denver. I won't even get into my statements on Sean Payton, but he's a jerk. Anyway, I mean, he's already 24. Like the guy? He's so dislikable. I said it in our chat. He's got the most punchable face in sports. I'm standing by that. But yeah, he's 24 now, but at least he's going to probably start this year. So we'll find out right away. And at least I'll give Denver credit too. They're trying to put as many pieces around him to help him be successful, including his college teammate, Troy Franklin, who thank God finally got drafted in the early fourth round. I was really worried about Matt Hicks. He was
a wellness check.
The wellness check was in need. We don't need to bring up Braylon Allen, but the wellness check was in need. So,
but you did bring up Braylon Allen. So
I know because it's fun, but you've got Franklin going to Denver. Where are you at? It sure feels like Peyton's really trying to turn over that offense. I mean, we've heard trade rumors about, you know, their wide receivers, and Sutton's still there, but they got rid of Judy. We know you don't like Mims, but he's, you know, second year guy, might get more opportunity this year. Do you think the path is there for Franklin? Do you think Sutton's time in Denver is pretty short?
I do think that the path is there for Franklin. I would say that I'm lukewarm on him at current ADP. I'm not actively targeting him because what the sheet that we're looking at here for ADP, again, from Dynasty Data Lab, he's at 21. So it's late second round. If I'm throwing a dart on a day three wide receiver, I would much prefer it to be in the third round. Second round, it's going to be hard for me to pull that trigger, but I love the player. And I will say that you're right. I didn't like Marvin Mims much as a prospect last year. And I don't think he showed a lot to prove me wrong as a rookie either. He's already got the chemistry with Nix. And, you know, I think Sutton, at least in the short term, is going to start at the X for them. And then it's going to be a competition between Franklin and Mims for who's going to start at the Z in two wide receiver sets and which one's going to be more of a primary slot guy. My money would be on Troy Franklin to win that other outside job over Mims. Is that a sure thing? No. But I can definitely very clearly see the path. And the lack of a sure thing and the fact that day three capital and the fact that he's got to fight to even have a starting spot is why I'm nervous taking him in round two.
And but his quarterback's Bo Nix.
And his quarterback's Bo Nix, which is both a plus because they played in college and a minus because he's Bo Nix. But yeah, second round is a little rich for me. I would much prefer if he fell to the third, which I think, I mean, the ADP is late second. That tells me he's probably falling to the early third a decent chunk of the time, and I'd feel much more comfortable pulling the trigger there.
All right, Matt, that makes sense. All right, we're going to discuss some sleepers and just overall strategy in just a minute, but first I want to make sure you know that the Rookie Big Board is now partnered with Underdog Fantasy Football. This is the best app for fantasy contests. They are running daily contests for NBA, NHL, and more. You can join the RBB crew on Underdog by using the promo code RBB. It will get you a 100% match on your first deposit and help us grow. All right, we're going to get to sleepers first because I think that's what the people want to hear. You talked about avoiding some guys, which I like that, but who are you looking to add based on their current ADP?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And the fact is, like I already mentioned, I'm avoiding Corum. I'm iffy on Franklin. We didn't talk about it. I don't like Polk or Wilson at the back of the second round either. Jalen Wright has an ADP of 24 on this sheet, which I think is a reach at RB4. So then it's like, who am I ranking up that high? Because that's like half the second round that I don't like. Well, a couple guys, Marshawn Lloyd, I would take above all those people that we just mentioned. He was my RB3 pre-draft. He is my RB3 post-draft. The situation is not great, but neither is really anybody else's outside of Brooks and Benson. And I just think he's more talented than the other guys. So I'm definitely taking him over guys like Corum and Jalen Wright. And he got drafted before them too. So Marshawn Lloyd, I like. Ben Sinnott, especially in a tight end premium league, man, like you're telling me I can get a second round receiving tight end with a clear path to being the starter there in the early third over like guys that are the backup running back on their own team and, you know, guys whose tape I just didn't like at all. So Ben Sinnott, I think, is a value. Jermaine Burton goes day two. I really liked what I saw on film for Jermaine Burton. And, you know, he's got as clear a path as Ricky Pearsall. I mean, Ricky Pearsall obviously got drafted earlier, but like similar situation. Pearsall needs Ayuk or Debo to get traded. And we think that that's probably going to happen at some point, either this year or next year. They just won't extend Ayuk. Like next, going into next year, we expect Pearsall to be the wide receiver two on that team, probably. And I think you could say the same thing about Jermaine Burton, right? Like, he needs T. Higgins to be off that team to really unlock any kind of upside. But it's a very realistic possibility that he goes into 2025 as the wide receiver two on that team opposite Chase for Joe Burrow. To get him in the mid third feels like great value. And then, you know, there's even guys that went day three. I mentioned like I'm uncomfortable with the day three Troy Franklin in round two, but day three Javon Baker in the mid to late third, where he's got a very clear path to potentially being the number one guy for the Patriots. Bucky Irving, whose tape I absolutely love, mid to late third. I think he's in a decent situation with, you know, Tampa Bay, where Rashad White is not a bad player, but he's not a world beater either. And, you know, that could be a committee or he could be a high-end handcuff. But I think he's a good player. I would take him above Corum still. And there, you know, you could get Bucky Irving a full round later. So, yeah, those are some of the guys that, because I don't like a lot of the second round ADPs, those are the guys in the third round that I think are just absolute steals.
Well, and it's interesting that you summarized it that way, because that's exactly what I was going to say, is we almost like the third round players at their ADP better than the second round players. I mean, generally speaking, you mean you mentioned some second round guys that you are totally happy taking, you know, where they're at, you know, Benson, you know, you Penix, A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah, I like a lot of the early second round guys.
Yeah, or Roman Wilson maybe at the end, but yeah, the rest of them, you were kind of like, I don't know. And now the third round, I mean, you named a lot of guys in the third round. And I agree. I think there's some interesting dart throws there. And I don't know if you mentioned, I apologize, I forgot, but you know, Jalen McMillan, I think, is another guy that's
intriguing
to me. You know, Tampa Bay, it's kind of like Burton at Cincinnati, where, you know, there's older wide receivers. I mean, Burton's a little different because T. Higgins is likely gone. I mean, he's already, you know, demanding a trade.
Right.
So I like that narrative. I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's probably why they invest, you know, the draft pick that they did. But Tampa Bay as well. I mean, we talked about it, you know, Friday night late, that, you know, Godwin's, you know, not getting any younger. He's almost 29, and Mike Evans is even older. So there's a path there, you know, not year one, but year two, maybe, where he's a wide receiver too. And for a third round pick, I'm totally fine, you know, taking a stab at a guy like that. So I like that. I mean, even Spencer Rattler, I would rather take a shot at Spencer Rattler, you know, mid to late third round in a super flex league than an early second round pick on like Michael Penix. 'Cause again, I'm not spending as high a draft capital. And I mean, there's no realistic path on Penix. I already talked about that, but Rattler, who knows? I mean, They don't have a guy.
Derek Carr and Jake Haener. It's not
right.
awe-inspiring in front of
him. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would be surprised if Rattler saw time this season, but maybe after a year, who knows? But
I mean, if they stink, right? Like, it could be like a late season, like, let's see what we've got in the young guy type of thing. And they're like, hey, we're done with Derek Carr. We already know we're done with Derek Carr. Let's just see what we got. You know, maybe it's a Sam Howell type thing where he's like, okay,
I was just thinking that.
It's fifth round pick that used to be a Debbie darling that doesn't have awe-inspiring quarterbacks in front of him. The team is in tank mode. He ends up getting a chance at least for a year. There was plenty of sell windows on a guy like Sam Howell where, you know, you could have got him late in a rookie draft and then flipped him during that time when he was a starter. So, yeah, I don't hate that take for Spencer Rattler to take him in the third.
All right. I like this. You know, really quick, just to wrap up, I want to talk a little bit kind of overall strategy. I think you hear this a lot, but people tend to not do this. And I'm basing this just off of the discourse that I'm seeing people talking in the Discord. It's, I need a running back. And so they want to reach for a guy early in their draft because of the positional need. And I know Hicks has said this a lot. I'm pretty sure you've said this, but I really want to hammer home that we are recording this on Wednesday night, May 1st. You don't need to worry about your starting lineup on May 1st. You have months to figure that out and just take the best player available, draft the talent, because the hit rate is higher for success when you do that. And if that player is really good, you can use that player or someone else on your roster at the same position to acquire what you need when you need it. Especially if your only hole in your roster is running back, honestly, you're in a great spot because running backs are the easiest thing to fill midseason. I mean, as soon as teams start going in the tank, they're going to be looking to rebuild.
First thing they want to do is trade their running backs.
Yeah. If they have any decent running back that's scoring, it doesn't need to be a great dynasty play. It could be a guy that, what, he's going to get me through one season. Bam. Yeah,
I mean, like Derrick Henry, Raheem Mostert last year. Like there's always guys that, man, this is like a top five guy at the position, and I can go get him for like a late second as a contender.
Or James Conner in Arizona the last couple of years. Like he was giving you points, and you could have had him for nothing. Like, you can easily acquire older players that are scoring points, even at wide receiver too, mid-season or early in the season, if you need to fill a hole and your team is competitive. So that is probably the easiest trade to pull off when you're on that. I'm buying older productive players because bad teams, they are more than willing to get rid of them. So please just take the best player talent wise. Don't worry about what you need on your roster right now. You have plenty of time to figure that out. And then the other one, and I talked about it with Corum, but there's other examples every year. Don't overvalue the rookie. We hear this every year. As soon as a guy gets drafted, they're like, oh, that doesn't bode well for the starter. And it's like, well, that depends. I mean, if it's a first round pick, then yes, there's probably a direct correlation there that you need to be mindful of. But if a guy goes late day two into day three, that could mean nothing. A lot of these guys bust. I mean, the majority of them bust. They're nothing. So if there's already a productive player, that doesn't mean that the productive player is going to lose his job where he's already been successful in the NFL just because the team spent a late third round pick on a wide receiver or whatever. So
I'll just give two like devil's advocate caveats to what you just said. Cause overall I completely agree with you. One caveat to the draft for value, trade for need. Know your league. Every league's different. Some leagues are just dead as a doornail and nobody will trade with you. And, you know, you got to know your league. So that's one point. And then number two, I totally agree about scooping up value, like take advantage of other people's rookie fever and get some productive vets on the cheap this time of year. I think that's good strategy. I mentioned my Jalen Waddle trade early in the year, like to get Jalen Waddle and a second for, you know, I mean, obviously Drake May, if he hits that makes my trade look silly, but he might not hit. We know he might not hit. So I think you can do that, but also lean into your strengths as a dynasty player. Like, I tend to keep my draft picks because I spent hundreds of hours in the film room evaluating these guys, and I trust myself over years to hit on the right guys and get value. And, you know, so I think just lean into your strengths as a dynasty player. If you know you're not a great rookie draft guy, trade the picks for the proven vets. If you've got a history of like really dominating your draft and scouting well, make the picks, you know. So it really, know your league, play it by ear, stay flexible with your strategy, and know yourself too and what you're good at and what you're not good at.
Yep. And I you brought up the one trade, which I liked. I'm going to bring up your other one because this was great, and it's Devy related. And yeah, you traded the Devy depleted Devy slash rookie 102, which you said became DJ Lagway, you know, the incoming freshman quarterback at Florida. I would say generally considered the QB1 of this class, obviously to talk about more in a future podcast, but traded him and Dante Moore, another Devy quarterback, who and Daniel love. Jones, starter for now, but who knows how much longer that'll be.
I mean, and then they gave him a vote of confidence because they didn't draft anybody and they went and got him Malik Nabers, and, you know, but so he's probably a usable player for a contender this year, but long-term, not overly excited.
Right. And Hollywood Brown, who, you know, he is in Kansas City. So that I said they only had Rice. They have Hollywood Brown too. Forgot about him. But then you got back Justin Herbert, Davante Adams, and Adam Thielen. And, you know, I said right away, I liked your side better. I mean, you've got two Devy quarterbacks. Who knows if those guys are going to ever be any good. And they have some value now, but, you know, we already talked about the bust rate on quarterbacks, but the, you know, Davante Adams is still a great wide receiver. Herbert's a proven quarterback who, by the way, I feel like his value is way down now. So, you know,
yeah, I've looked to see if you can acquire Herbert this offseason. I think between the Greg Roman, Jim Harbaugh, they're never, ever, ever going to pass the ball thing. And then the fact that they like got rid of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, it's like, who is he going to have catch passes? Like, people are kind of panicked on. I've seen him fall to like second round in startup drafts. We did one of the RBB leagues. I forget what DCLU. I was in that startup, and I got Herbert at 115 in a 16 team startup draft, which, you know, before he was going like top 3 to 5. So yeah, I do think people are down on Herbert, and he's a guy that I've been trying to scoop up shares where I can, get putting out feelers to like how much that guy's panicking.
Yep. Yep. I like it. It's great. You know, take advantage of people overreacting to news. I mean, we see it in free agent news or coaching changes, but now it's happening with rookies as well. And now's your opportunity to go out and acquire a player. Rashee Rice might be another guy, by the way, if people are down on him, because he's probably going to miss a few games. We have learned over the years, not a big deal. He'll be back and he'll be fine. He was great as a rookie, so I think he's worth sniffing out as well. All right, that is going to do it. We are out of time. Great podcast, Matt. Thank you very much. And thank you to all of you for listening to this episode. If you have not already, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review on whichever podcast app you're using. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss any of the RBB action. For Matt, I am Skip. Have an awesome week and weekend, everyone. Take care.